Good morning. Happy New Year. This is our first Sunday of the new year. Welcome. Pastor Matt's not here this morning, so Gail, you're preaching this morning. Are you okay with that? All right. You're ready? We should be ready. No, he's in the back. I see him there. I want to welcome everyone here this morning. Just a couple of highlights on the announcements. You'll see there's a, leadership team meeting is this Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. In the bulletin that says that'll be in the fellowship hall, but that will be actually in the back in the conference room in the Sunday school office area. Any other announcements anybody might have? I see we have We Care package time. You see a list of items in there. You want me to highlight that? Okay. Yeah. If you look inside your bulletin cover in the lower left-hand corner, there's a 75th anniversary celebration going to take place at Stone Ridge for Hershey and Anna Mary. That is January 13th. I believe that's next Sunday. So take note of that, and please plan on attending that. Anything else? I'm not seeing anybody raising their hand, so let's... Yes. Next Sunday after the second service is youth soup and sandwich, so please plan to stay for that. I heard somebody say something about ham bean soup earlier, so. Let's stand together as we join in our call to worship. We enter a new year resounding with joy. Calling forth from deep to deep.
The light has come, a new hope is born.
Let us join in prayer together. Lord, your love surrounds us, and the joy we receive motivates us to live with passion for you. May others know you by knowing us. Let us gather together and be found as one for your cause of peace and sharing hope.
Thank you. We serve an awesome God, amen? Amen. If everyone could turn around and look at the camera and wave and say, hi, Daniel. We have good news this morning, just come in from Greg. Daniel lifted his leg so high up today to get his Eagles pants on. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. He didn't even realize how far he moved it. So lots of happy tears, still nothing much from his arm yet, but prayers are being answered. So keep them coming, and he is working miracles in Daniel. And it says, we love you all, and that came from Greg. And from Sarah last night, she asked Daniel if there was something he wanted to share with you, his church family. And he said this, everyone is so insanely thoughtful. Thank you so much. So Daniel, our prayers continue to be with you, and we're cheering for you, and we know you're going to do incredible things with God's help. Any joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning? It's a new year, so that means a new me. So day five, under 2,000 calories on my fitness pal so far, so keep me accountable. Unless it's a Snickers bar, just let me eat it. I'll subtract it from my calories.
As we sit so comfortable and wonderful and dry in this house of God, we have to remember the people of Australia, the people that are suffering floods in Africa. And I hate to have Facebook at this moment because there was a bad storm on 78. Thankfully, nobody was injured there. But there is a large multi-vehicle accident in western Pennsylvania on the turnpike, with a tour bus and tractor trailers and cars, and there are multiple people who are no longer here on this earth. At that time of the night, somebody was up, I have no idea who. I was listening, watching Facebook, and unfortunately I'm connected to the traffic report, so all these things came popping up, but the one in western Pennsylvania seems to be really bad. So let's keep all these situations and people in prayer. We're all connected in one way or another.
Thank you. Thank you. So keep Herman Manbeck in your prayers as well, recovering from surgery. A little bit of difficulty yesterday I saw on Facebook, so keep Herman in your prayer as well. Lord, we thank you for the gift of love that you gave us this Christmas. We thank you for the many gifts that we were able to give one another. But Lord, we don't take for granted the gift that you gave us. And so we live this life recognizing who you are in our lives, realizing that our identity is formed in you. And we know, Lord, along life's journey, we face challenges, we face difficulties, we endure suffering and go through various struggles. And Lord, we just want to thank you for our dear friend Daniel, Lord. Continue to bless him, continue to give him strength, continue to renew and restore his body, that he would be brought back to complete wholeness and he would function as he did before the surgery. And we thank you, Lord, for the way in which you're moving already in his life. And just continue to give Sarah strength and Greg and Lauren and the rest of the family gathering around him. And we just thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers, for moving on behalf of our prayers and being an active God in our lives. We think, Lord, of Herman this morning and pray a very special prayer over him, Lord, as he recovers from surgery, Lord, that you would give him strength and you would encourage him as he goes through this time of healing. And we just thank you, Lord, that we know you are present in our lives, and when we face times of suffering and struggle, Lord, we know that you give us the strength to carry through those times. And we think of those that are mourning the loss of a loved one in an accident that happened in Pennsylvania, Lord, and those that have been sent to the hospital for operations and other things that may be going on through that accident, Lord. We pray for the families that have been affected, and just pray, Lord, for ourselves as we travel throughout this county, throughout this world, Lord, that we would be mindful as we drive and stay alert, Lord, and just thank you, Lord, for watching over us as we go to and fro. We think, Lord, this morning of the flooding and pray for those victims of the flooding, Lord. We take for granted how blessed we are in Pennsylvania. We deal with some snow, we deal with some rain and some little flooding, but mass flooding, we don't always know what that feels like. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters that are dealing with the restructuring of their homes and having to deal with insurance and so many other things, Lord. I pray if there'd be a way we might be of help to them, Lord, we would answer that call to serve and to bring any type of materials that we can to help those that have been affected by flooding. We thank you, Lord, for Beverly this morning and for Carl and for Vera and for Naomi and for Sandy and for Amanda. And Lord, we just praise you for birthdays, Lord. We think of Richard this morning and we think of Rufus this morning and praise you for anniversaries and marriages. And we celebrate them this morning, Lord, and think of Hershey and Anna Mary celebrating 75 years, Lord, and just bless them, Lord, as we continue to walk this life together and continue to reach out to one another, Lord. We pray that we would keep each other in prayer as individuals, as single individuals, or as married individuals, whatever our situation may be right now, Lord. We just lift up that family unit and just ask that you would allow it to be blessed, Lord, and allow us to see you through it and raise our children according to how you would have us raise them, Lord. And we just come now, we know that sin enters our lives. We know over the Christmas season there could have been some things that have happened that we regret, Lord, and we just want to confess them to you, Lord, and ask for your forgiveness and just thank you for being a God that hears our prayers and offers forgiveness as we repent and confess. Lord, we thank you that you know us. We thank you that you love us despite ourselves. But Lord, this new year, we want to reveal who you are through our lives. We want to show others what Christ looks like through our love and through our compassion. So Lord, we know as we go through different aisles of the store, we face people that may not be like us. But Lord, you call us to love each other and to share life together with each other and to meet each other's needs. And we thank you we're made in your image and thank you that your characteristics can flow through us. So Lord, we just pray as we live this new year together as Little Sotara and as a community here in Bethel and Rarisburg and surrounding towns, Lord, that we would be mindful of you as we do life together. So thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us who you are and revealing yourself to us through Scripture. And we just pray that we would indeed be a blessing unto others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have led me to this.
Just want to share from, this comes from Bible Money Matters. As we ring in the new year, it's important to remember that we can only find contentment in God. We also need to give thanks for all that He has done for us in the past year and what He will do in the year to come. I want to share Philippians 4, verses 11 to 13. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Father, as we take this morning offering, we know that we are placed here on this earth to serve You. We know that sometimes we suffer and we have needs, and other times we have abundance, and we just pray and thank You for that. We know that through You all things are possible, and we pray that You take this morning offering and use it to the greatest abundance that it can be used. And it's in Your precious name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward for this morning's children's moment. As you're coming forward this morning, I want you to put your thinking caps on. We're going to play a game, Who Am I? You ever play that game before? You ever have to guess who someone is? No, never played that game. We're going to go way old school. This morning, for the first person, you're going to guess who I am, okay? This goes way, way back, and I really don't do a good impersonation of this person, but maybe you have heard these words before as they were sung. He goes something along these lines, thank you very much, and he does a little lip thing. Do you know who that is? Elvis, yes, that's Elvis. So who am I? I was Elvis. Very good. Okay, I'm thinking of someone who wears a uniform. They have shoulder pads, they have pads throughout their body, and they put a helmet on, and they're in a game today. It's called the playoffs. What were we going to say? A football player. Very good. That's who I was. Okay. I sit on a bench, and I have a piano in front of me. Who am I? You're Pam. Yeah. Awesome. That's right. Very good. So if I were to ask you guys the question, who are you? How would you answer that? Who are you? What might you say? If I said, who are you? You would say your name. I'm Naomi. Okay. What else might you say about yourselves? Who am I? If you're asking yourself, who am I? Or someone came up to you, who are you? We go by our name. Okay. I'm a human being. That's good. That's great.
Okay, good answer. What else might you say? Who am I, or who are you? I'm a soccer player. Okay, we identify by the hobbies or sports that we do. So we use our name. We're human beings. We're soccer players. Can you think of anything else? Who else are we? We're Christians. All right. I love it. So one of the things I want to encourage you guys to do as you go throughout this new year is to reveal Jesus to others. So when you think about your identity in Christ, what might be something that shows Christ to others? What might something about you be? Who are you? What characteristic might you have if you claim to follow Christ? You want multiple choice? And Shane's like, yeah, give me the multiple choice. Okay, so would you be loving or hateful? Loving. Would you be caring or talk about people behind their back? Caring. Oh, you guys are on a roll. How about would you show mercy or would you make that person feel worse? You would show mercy, right? So when we say that we follow Christ, we want to look at who Christ is. So you guys are going to be here over the next several weeks, hopefully, and you'll get to learn a little more about who Jesus is. And we learn about Jesus through his encounters in the Bible. And so today we're going to be talking about a woman who was caught in a sin. And so even though she was caught in that sin, Jesus met her where she's at, and she'll do that for each of you. So don't ever feel bad or guilty about when you sin. Just go to Jesus and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And that's all we need to do every day of our lives, because we don't always know what sins we do, do we? Not exactly. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can be called children of God when we believe and when we trust in you. And I pray, Lord, these children will begin to start thinking about that. What does it mean for me to follow you? And how do I act with others? How do I talk to others? How do I treat others? And I pray, Lord, we would be filled with that love and that mercy and that compassion that you give us to demonstrate to others. But we know that can be difficult day in and day out when we face people that aren't like us. So, Lord, we ask that you would just bless us and help us to be a blessing to others. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. 2020 is here and the Lord is near. We need not fear. Amen?
Amen.
I pray Christ was at the center of your Christmas celebrations and that you're ready to make him known to the world. So today we're going to be starting a brand new series called The Big Reveal. We've seen it before. Blue smoke from the tractor exhaust, the baseball thrown and pink exploding from it, and many other creative ways to reveal the gender of a baby. But now the big reveal becomes each of us. And the question for the new year is, who will you reveal? Friends, we know that we are made in God's image. And being made in God's image, we are made to benefit others. But there's times it becomes more about benefiting ourselves. What can we do to get more? And it seems the more that we get, the less that we really have. So friends, God knows what we need before we even ask. So I want you to imagine life with the thoughts of others first. Do they have enough food? Do they have enough clothing? Do they have adequate shelter? Do they have means to make ends meet? I love what Dave made you think about last week. He said, at the end of the day, how many people's lives have been impacted having met you? He went on to say, if you did not impact anybody, you wasted your day. And I had to think about that, and I thought, wow, Dave, that was rather harsh. But there's so much truth to be heard in that statement. So maybe our 2020 vision is simply revealing Christ and making him known. But there's a fact that we must know. We can't show Christ if we don't really know Christ. You know, the pew that you're sitting on right now is only worth so much. If you don't leave from this place having known Jesus, how are you going to show him? So these next several weeks will reveal Jesus through the many encounters he had with people a lot like you and I. And as we journey together into the big reveal, no matter what we're facing right now, he knows the pain and the sorrow, the joy, the triumph. He knows that we need him, and he always shows up at the right time. Amen? That frustration, those doubts from 2019 can be left behind. Friends, it's a new year and a new opportunity to rediscover Jesus. But maybe right now, after all that hustle and bustle and busyness of the Christmas season, all we need is to rest in the knowledge of him. To know that he is here and to know that he's not going anywhere. To know that he cares and there's no length, friends, he won't go to show that. So maybe right now, we need to reset and rewind. There's a part of our story we may need to erase and redeem and remind ourselves who we are. That our identity in Christ matters the most. That identity that seals our belief and proves our existence. But may today be the beginning of revealing Jesus to everyone around us. So even though God knows all there is to know about each one of us, there's still this game we like to play, and it's called conceal. It's not actually real, and we do what we call faking it to make it. We like to put on masks, and maybe this morning you've come to church with a mask on. You've had a horrible week. You've had the worst week you could ever imagine. And so you're here this morning and you're wearing a mask that everything is okay. But this year, might I encourage us to take off every mask and be who you are and be open to the Spirit's leading to share life together with one another, that we can pray and heal each other's hurts through Jesus' name.
So
deep down, there is this knowledge of who we are. But the question we need to ask today is, do we know whose we are? When we start to live into that knowledge of whose we are, this big reveal becomes obvious. So today we're about to see Jesus hint at just how much he really knows about us in a story about a woman caught in adultery. It begins as an argument with the Pharisees. But what's more amazing than anything is not what Jesus knows, but what he does with what he knows. So John chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there with me. We'll be reading just verses 1 to 11 together. John 8, verses 1 to 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Here we see the first of many traps that the religious leaders are setting. But let us remember, not all traps work the same. Journey with me into the parsonage over Christmas break. One mouse after the other being killed in the basement. Until that moment, that one certain mouse just did not want to seem to die. Those traditional traps just weren't working anymore. So the wife sends me to Walmart, and I buy every imaginable type of mouse trap there is. Because if you don't know Denise, she does not like mice. I hate snakes. She hates mice. So there we are, LJ and I, at Walmart, looking at every mouse trap available. We narrowed it down to two, didn't we, son? We got the Tomcat, which just sounded cool. It must work. You don't even need bait for that one. And then we got this thing that is so sticky that even the dog's paws got caught in it. But guess where the mice went? To the sticky trap. And that's what Jesus is being attempted to be accused with now. A sticky trap. They're trying a frontal attack in chapter 7, sending officers to arrest him. That doesn't work. They hear Jesus speak and they marvel, saying things like, "No one ever spoke like this man." So by now, they figure the only way to get rid of him is to catch him contradicting himself, or by discredit, making him choose a position that is not popular with the people. When the woman is presented, Jesus doesn't dispute the charges against her. As a matter of fact, he knows that she is guilty of sin. And we know from the law, Leviticus 20:10, a woman caught in adultery must be executed. So here is the seemingly unavoidable dilemma. If Jesus says she should not be stoned, then they simply claim he does not follow God's word. If he says she should be stoned, then that caring, compassionate, loving, merciful image is thrown out the window and could very well be seen as violating Roman law forbidding independent executions. So what is a savior to do? At first, instead of answering, Jesus bends down and he writes something on the ground. Now, we don't know exactly what he writes, but we know Jesus knows what we don't know. Some suggest that it's a list of the sins of the religious leaders there. Ironically, though, they're already breaking the law by bringing the woman, but not the man, as law required. Perhaps Jesus writes the Ten Commandments. Whatever it was, it doesn't really matter, but comfort levels were suddenly out the door. You can imagine these Pharisees beginning to sweat. They were beginning to squirm within. And Jesus makes this famous statement. He who is without sin should throw the first stone. Just when they thought they had him, this woman becomes known. Jesus isn't condoning the sin. In fact, he supports that there is sin and that this woman is guilty. He knew that very well. She knew that very well. And we know that very well. Yet, at the same time, he's not saying that only perfect people can make judgments. Instead, Jesus points out the fact that not any single one of us is perfect. And friends, what that means is that lack of perfection, there's experiences, attitudes, other things of our lives that will cloud our judgment of right and wrong. It's a bit like the pot calling the kettle black. But Jesus even says to think illy of a brother or sister, you're already committing murder in your heart. So what we see as this story unfolds, they put down their rocks and they start to leave one by one. So let's see what that would look like in our congregation. If you're able, everyone please stand. Now, of those standing right now, if you are over 80 years old, I invite you to put down your stone. Over 80. Over 70 years old, put down your stone and sit down. Over 60 years old. Over 50 years old. Over 40 years old. Over 30, over 20, over 10, and everyone is now seated. Now, ideally, we would have had this woman remaining here with Jesus. And as you left, you can imagine the feeling within yourself. But we can't begin to conceive what's happening in this woman's mind. Even though all those Pharisees and teachers of the law left, what did they continue to do thereafter? Tried to kill Jesus. What we witness with those Pharisees and those standing around this woman leaving was not repentance.
Instead, they only acknowledged their sin. Friends, we can be well aware of our sin, but unless we repent, unless we change our mind, is what that word means, and seek forgiveness from Jesus himself, we're no different than those Pharisees. So as we start 2020, let's reveal what genuine forgiveness looks like. Not just acknowledging, oh, I said something unwholesome this week. Oh, I may have lied a little. I may have cheated on a test or done something that was considered sinful. Let's not just acknowledge that. Let's take that to the Lord. But you see, we have a very real enemy who says, oh, no, it's okay. You don't need to take that to the Lord. You've acknowledged your sin. You don't need to repent and seek forgiveness. But friends, the Word of God is very straightforward. The Word of God tells us that we must be forgiven in order to receive eternal life. And that forgiveness is not with God alone. That forgiveness is with each other. And so if we're going to reveal Jesus this year, it's time that we look at sin differently. And not a matter of, I think this is a sin and you think that's a sin, because that's fleshly. Look to God's word and find definition of sin. And when you find those definitions of sin, examine yourself and say, have I been guilty of this? And if you've been guilty, simply turn to Jesus and repent and say, I'm sorry. And in return, he'll say, neither do I condemn you. But he goes on, unlike most people reading this story, they forget the last line. It says, go on and sin no more. In other words, what Jesus is trying to tell us is we need to leave that life of sin behind us. Again, we're not perfect. That's where God's marvelous grace comes into play. But Lord, that forgiveness he offers us is insurpassable. It removes feelings within us that free us. And so this year, as we consider the big reveal of Jesus to the world, let's start with not just acknowledging sin, but also taking it to Jesus and allowing it to be forgiven through the cross. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you know us. You know us so well that there's even things within us that we don't even want to admit. But Lord, we know deep within there's those sins that we cover up, we wear a mask, and we pretend aren't really there. But Lord, this is a new year. This is the year to reveal Christ to the world. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness for the years prior that we may not have done so well at doing so. But we know in that knowledge of us, you love us. And you empower us. You have given us a Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us. So, Lord, I pray every moment of every day we would be seen as you to others. May it be so in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
know, just keep seeing this image in my mind as we enter those pearly gates and Jesus is standing there and he says, you only had one job. But then he goes on and he says, you did it. Well done, good and faithful servant. May that be the reveal that we have this year, that when we meet Jesus face to face, he says, you only had one job and you did it. Well done, good and faithful servants.